Welcome back to the BTBCP with your boy GPB at 53, brought to you by the PBG. That is the end of my rapping career right there. We don't really have a sponsor. I just wanted to let you guys know that I started another Instagram account called Batteringgram. It's like battering and then R-A-H-A-M. I'm buckling down on all my fitness crap, and if anybody is interested in following to see how that whole process goes, I'm just kind of using it to hold myself accountable. So check out Batteringgram on Instagram. I tried to get Instagram when I signed up for Insta like 4 years ago, but some idiot probably named Graham beat me to it. Anyway, as for podcasting, let's talk about books on boats. Ready and... So yesterday, here in Utah, I went down to Provo. There's a place called Class Ropes, but it's just spelled C-L-A-S, all caps. I assume it's an acronym for something that I don't know what it is. But they've got a rocks and ropes course out there near the Utah Lake, and it's also next to the Provo River. And you can rent a canoe and go paddling. So I took my kids down there, and we rented a canoe really cheap. It was like $15 for 2 hours. Max weight is 450 pounds in the canoe, or roughly two Americans. So, you know, with me and my kids, that was just fine. Went paddling around and everything, and then it must have still been creeping around in my subconscious, because when I was planning episodes for this week, I went and picked, not kidding, 4 books about boats to some degree. So let's get into that for today and for Wednesday. The first book is Bloody Jack by L.A. Meyer. I can't remember how I stumbled across this series, but I know that I rented the first one. It's weird to say rented if you didn't like pay for it. I checked it out at the library using the Overdrive app to get the audiobook, probably last summer when I started to get a lot more windshield time at work and I had, you know, more time for books and totally not, you know, Netflix, because I definitely wouldn't watch that on my phone at work. Behind the wheel. Anyway, this is a book about a girl named Mary Faber, but she quickly adopts the name of Jack because she's living in the, I want to say 1700s, 1800s. I don't remember quite the year, but this is back in a time when young folk were being pressed into service and so forth. She's born to a richer, upper-class, well-off family. But a plague sweeps through and takes them. Both her parents die. She ends up as an urchin. One thing leads to another, and she's able to kind of forge her way into the Navy, enlisting in the, I don't know if it's necessarily like officer's school, but she wasn't pressed into being a grunt, you know, as a street urchin, as was common at the time. You know, you need able-bodied folk to run your boats, and so you grab them and you tell them, hey, you get to be a sailor now, whether you like it or not. And usually that involves some, you know, hitting them with a stick and so on and so forth. I don't recall Jack being pressed into service, but there are a lot of really good things that I do recall about this book. Namely that while it skews younger, it's on the young adult side, it plays very realistically with the things that a young woman would have to face if she was A, you know, in a Royal Navy in this time period, and B, trying to conceal her sex. Namely, there's a bunch of things that go on with this, but for example, when she starts having her menstrual cycle for the first time, and, you know, remember, her mom died when she was very young, so she didn't get to have anybody explain this whole process to her. Bloody Jack, who got the nickname Bloody Jack not for this reason, now that I think about it, Bloody Jack didn't realize that something that was going on with her was normal. She only realized that she was bleeding and she felt ill and irritable and moody and thought that she was dying. And within a matter of days, the condition cleared up. She kept it hidden from the ship's medic. And then a whole month later, it happened again. And this went on through a couple of cycles until finally, when the ship made port somewhere in the Caribbean, it left England, made port in the Caribbean, Jack made a point of going to a brothel and paying for the headmistress of the place, the head madam, I guess, and breaking the news, coming in and saying, yeah, I look like I'm, you know, a 12-year-old sailor coming in here for a good time in the Caribbean, but this is not actually why I'm here. And she paid the headmistress of the brothel, saying, hey, I've got this thing that keeps happening to me. What the heck? And the lady's like, "Oh, okay. Well, awesome that you snuck into the Navy, and here's what's going on. You're not dying. Here's what to do about it. Here's how it works." And so it doesn't go into a whole bunch of gritty detail from there. It's just, obviously a female would be dealing with this problem, and the author addresses it realistically, but at the same time tactfully. And I thought, okay, never really read something like this in a young adult book, but obviously, the 50% of the population that is female is going to be dealing with this issue in their youth. And so, seeing a character deal with that same thing would really ground it and bring it home. It wouldn't just be so sterile as like, oh, and here's this young woman who joined the Navy and concealed her gender and also never dealt with this issue that every other woman does. So there was that. There was also, the issue of romantic entanglements, as one might expect. Think back to the Leviathan trilogy by Scott Westerfeld. That was also, one of the two main characters was a girl who had joined a Navy pretending to be a boy, and then ended up romantically entangled with a boy, and told him her secret, obviously. And there were pitfalls and ramifications for that. And she had to do the same thing. Jack had to, eventually break the news that, hey, I'm a chick. I think you should know this. And the dude was like, oh, okay, that, changed the dynamic. But once he was able to wrap his head around it, it also changed the dynamic of their friendship and then their relationship. And of course, you had to conceal that, from the officers and stuff of the crew, because there were solid, rock solid laws against what was called buggery back then. To put a polite spin on it, sodomy. Men could not be with men. It wasn't just something that was frowned upon. It was something that, like, we will whip this out of you and we will kill you. You'll be executed for this kind of stuff, because it just was not something that was tolerated. So they had to be very careful about even letting anybody know that they were involved. And she, again, was really set on concealing her gender. The story itself isn't just, them sailing around and dealing with the life as sailors. They run into adversaries, and this is a thing where I'll drop the hashtag price of discovery on you. Worth the read, and it really feels like the technical details of it are accurate. I myself, never having lived in the 18th century Royal Navy, I can't personally vouch for that, but I've read a bunch of other books in this genre, and it at least feels consistent to that. So check it out, Bloody Jack by L.A. Meyer. What blows my mind is this book came out like 17 years ago, and I just heard about it last year, and apparently there are 8 or 9 books in this series. I've got the next one on my to-read list, and I'm going to get around to it. I remember really enjoying the first one, so I'll be checking it out from there. So hit it up. Another book series that was similar to Bloody Jack in many ways and dissimilar in a few is called Powder Monkey by Paul Dowswell. The main character is a boy named Sam Witchell, who's out on some kind of sailing vessel, again, right around the same time, 1700s, 1800s, some sailing vessel off the coast of England. He's learning to be a sailor. He's about 12 at the time. And a Royal Naval vessel passes them by, and all of a sudden, the captain of this little fishing vessel is like, "Hey, young men, boys, whatever, everybody get below decks and hide." But it's too late. The Navy has seen them. They board the ship. They say, "Hey, we saw that you have a boy. Saw him up in the rat lines, up in the rigging. Give him to us." And they press him into service. So he gets hit by the press gang, and all of a sudden, without really intending to, he's been forced to join the Navy. And they give him a job as what is called a powder monkey. It's his job that when the Navy is getting into skirmishes with the French and they start firing their cannons, the black powder is kept in a safe magazine on the ship. And running the powder from the magazine to the different cannons is the most dangerous job on the ship. One single spark hits that and you are turned into pink dust. Powder monkeys don't have a very long lifespan, and so, they've got to kidnap and force into service young boys to do the job. And young Sam, gives you the rundown of life in the Navy. I think Dowswell is by nature a nonfiction author, and he just wanted to write a fictional account of what life was like in the Navy for these young boys. And so, Sam Witchall is, I wouldn't say necessarily bland, but you don't find a whole ton of depth to his character. He exists largely to narrate what life was like, how they survived, the sicknesses that they were keen, commonly dealing with, and then also, punishments that were handed down, and ways that they were able to get out of service, and what life was like at sea for these people whose lives were largely not their own. There was a couple of sequels to this book. There were a couple of sequels. The next one was called Prison Ship, and that's where the author drops Sam into some legal trouble, and so he's sentenced to a few years of transportation, which it means that you're on a boat that is going to take you around the world and down under to Australia. You're going to be a prisoner there for a couple of years, and then you're going to come back. And it talks about what life was like on those prison ships, and then what life was like in these penal colonies down under, and the things that these people did to survive and or escape. And then the final book in this series, which I haven't read yet but I've read about, is called Battle Fleet. And I think from there Sam is able to kind of get back into the Navy, get himself pardoned, and make his way back to England. And he's got a sweetheart that he writes to at home and stuff. And so it's in terms of gripping fictional narrative, it's kind of dry on that count. But if you're reading it as a nonfiction that slightly has a story to it, it works a little bit better, and it's written for young readers. It skews that way, so the speed of it is a little bit faster paced. I remember reading both of these books pretty quickly, when I checked them out. Just like I said, because of how dry it was, I didn't end up getting around to the third one, but it was still fascinating. And since it's on the subject, I would recommend checking that out. So pick up Powder Monkey for yourself or for the young reader in your life by Paul Dowswell, and that'll do it for today. Tune back in on Wednesday. We'll talk about two more books that are nonfiction that also have to do with boating but aren't from the same period. They're from the 20th century, and I think you guys are going to dig them. For now, drive safe. See you out there.